X8, number 2A.
All right. Is that clear about mind, fine mind reading, mortal mind reading? Yes? Beg your pardon?
Explain it with love, adapting it.
Yes. All right. Actually, we were in spirit, but you see how they hinge together, that we said in spirit we are trying to make a distinction between good and evil, between ideas and illusions. And we could see that spirit would only know ideas, and then we were going back and say, but how do we know ideas? Do ideas come to us? So we had to go back to mind and say, see, it is mind reading that brings forth the idea. Spirit then would just see that these are the ideas of reality, that these are the ideas of that have substance and that develop and unfold the whole proposition. And there, then we don't have any more that dualistic sense of having constantly to struggle to take the part of the good. I just mentioned struggle. You know that Mrs. Eddy says, that seeking is not enough. It is striving that enables us to enter. And what she says, seeking, mind, is not enough. What is necessary is a tone of spirit. Striving enables us to enter. That's in prayer. And you can see that prayer has a lot of metaphysical approaches in it. It all depends which sentences one takes out of the text, but very much is on that metaphysical approach, like this one. Striving is necessary. It's a wonderful attitude for the human, which says, well, you can't just say, I seek, and I'm a seeker. There is something more about it. It's that taking up the battle, taking up the strife, taking up the struggle. That is all the counterfeit of spirit. Strife, warfare, struggle. All the counterfeit of spirit. And you say, I have to take that up, and I have jolly well to struggle. What is the struggle to enter? Well, the struggle to enter is, again, to refuse to think negatively and to accept to think positively. That's the struggle. Not to let oneself be sidetracked, but to always make a terrific distinction, line of demarcation. That's the struggle. It's a terrific struggle, you know, in life to be a metaphysician at the point of spirit. Always to separate everything that comes to us. You see, all the influences of the testimony of the physical senses, we have to correct and put the right idea there instead of the illusion. It's a terrific struggle. And that's why if you stay long enough as a metaphysician, it wears you down. It wears you down. And practitioners that can't keep their head above metaphysics, and don't go to science, I think they have a hard time. And you see it usually expressed in the and manifested on their lives and on their body and on their expression. It's a burden, terrific burden. It is a transitionary stage where one grows into it, and you have to grow out of it into science. And in science, there is no more struggle. What is the answer to struggle from the point of view of science?
Spirit, I would say.
Spirit, yeah. I say, what is the answer in spirit?
It's the only.
Mm-hmm. See, it's no more duality, no more running against something. Can you see how in spirit you always have the main tone, the only, which always says spirit is that aspect of mind which says to mind, you are the only. Spirit is not actually something in addition to mind. It just takes mind and says, now I accentuate that this mind which I've been building up in consciousness is now my only mind. And that's spirit. It's the only. And in that onlyness, we don't have any more struggle. But naturally, it means that we have a very sure foundation in consciousness that we feel this is the only reality and the only substance that is that exists, and therefore I can rely on that. Then there is no more struggle, and spirit is the only. And you can see that the metaphysician has to use the old classical two-valued logic. He has to do that, or he can't get any further. He must see what is one side as truth and the other side, which is error. No matter if it's life and death, spirit and matter, soul and sense testimony, or what if it's principle and person, or if it's love and hate, that doesn't matter what it is, the metaphysician has to use as his logic the two-valued logic. But when you come to spirit, which is the only, you have no more two values. And so that logic does no more enter into our consciousness at that point. Because it goes out from the one value. It only knows its own value, its own nature. It does, spirit itself does not know an opposite nature. Therefore, it has not two value. And it is that logic which has always been considered to be irrational by the logicians, because they say the human mind cannot think that way. And actually, they are right. The human mind cannot think in one value. It's not possible. That's the inner structure of the human mind, that it always needs to think in dualistic terms. But the human mind has never considered, or ordinary metaphysics has never considered, the possibility of a divine system of reference. The possibility that actually we could find a consciousness through these exercises, through concept building, tonality building, being building, to the point where we touch, at least here and there, not always from morning to night, but here and there, where we can touch that one nature of spirit, the only nature of reality, and therefore suddenly can see the one value logic. And afterwards, when you come to the chart, you can see the reason of it. You can reason the one value logic out. Oh, I shouldn't start on that. I shouldn't start on that. I'm sorry. I already tried it once this week and I had to stop it. But it's terrific. I start just the same again, a third time. It's terrific. You know, it's so enormous, you know. I'm so impressed about the logic of Christian Science. I'm deeply, that Mrs. Eddy, she just has taken 150 years in advance of what people will be thinking in the way of logic. And what is beautiful about it is that you can see, because science is the contemplation of the infinite one, including its infinite ideas, that one value logic will include at a certain level, namely at the level of Christian Science, will include a reasoning of the two-value logic. It will give us an answer for a definite authority for reasoning in the two-value logic exactly, so that we really don't make a mistake. And then you will see, as you go on, you come to the three-value logic, to the four-value logic. Actually, the textbook cannot be understood unless we have at least a three or four-valued logic, and then it begins to make sense. Then the contradictions that apparently are there for the classical logician just disappear. So Mrs. Eddy uses the trans-classical logic, which today more and more people take into consideration. In cybernetics, they have the three-value logic. Wertheimer, the great Gestalt founder, he has the four-valued logic as a minimum of logic to see things straight. The whole world begins to feel that there is another logic that we have to consider, and it's that logic which Mrs. Eddy already used in her textbook. Now I stop with that logic. All right. Don't stop. Yes, I have to stop because to present it nicely and correctly and purely, I would have to take at least 2 days or so and show it with statements from the textbook, and it would take me at least that time. And so I think since 3 years or so, I'm still hoping that once I will be able to present the logic of Christian Science. Somehow it never worked that way that I could take it in. But it will come at the right time, that I know, when thought is ready for it. Yeah. Yeah, now I have to stop now. I was already thinking of going on. Yeah. All right. So, we come to soul. We have learned in soul something very big, namely that in order that instead of identifying ourselves with the body, identifying ourselves with what we mortally are, and instead of identifying ourselves with what people think we are, we have learned the great, great lesson, the freeing and liberating lesson, that we should identify ourselves only with ideas, that we should identify ourselves only afterwards with the synonymous terms. That that is our true identity. What is that? Metaphysics? Science? Science? Metaphysics? Yeah. Yeah. We identify ourselves with idea. What would be the science approach?
Soul identifies itself.
Soul identifies itself. What about me? I would like to be identified rightly.
Well, I am the idea.
Mm-hmm. So soul identifies not only itself, but every idea. Huh? Yeah. So I'm identified by soul. Or soul identifies every idea, identifies every situation. Now you see, I can go right down through various levels of consciousness. That soul identifies itself, that soul identifies every idea, and by soul identifying every idea, identifies every situation, everyone rightly. I can go right down to every phenomenon, to everything that happens. If I go down, I can go down through all the stratas of existence. And find, I can even, through soul, even identify rightly what is error, what is sin, what is false. It's always the same question which you have asked about the divine mind. Oh yes, we didn't finish that one. I just see now that the divine mind reading who only knows ideas, then by the law of opposites, can also identify error. Can identify what is the specific error. Therefore, it goes right down through all the stratas of human consciousness and human experience. Nothing is left out because in the one mind, all is one. It's only a question of letting it translate to every level of consciousness. So in soul, we have the same thing. In soul, we see that soul, being, is identifying itself, is keeping its own identity, upholding its own identity. But also, if I go out to ideas, I see that soul alone can identify every idea. And by identifying every idea, it can go further, lower down, and see that soul alone does identify me rightly, namely as idea, and no more as a person. That soul alone can identify the true identity of every situation. so that I am not bewildered and foxed by the testimony of the physical senses. I am not sidetracked by any argument of the human mind. Soul alone, through spiritual sense, tells me exactly what is what. Yes? So I feel it's good to know that it would be a terrific enterprise to try to identify myself rightly. And actually nobody could do it. The metaphysical approach wouldn't be sufficient. We could to a certain extent identify ourselves rightly. But who knows, who can know what his true identity is? Who has that mind that is soul? Can you now see? Who has that infinite mind that could encompass in his mind the whole of soul's identity? Impossible. Could you follow me? Yeah? Mind and soul, huh? There you see it wonderfully, that metaphysically our mind is too small, too limited to know the bigness of what we are. Even if we would try our best and figure out the highest thing, what I am, we couldn't, because our human mind is too small. It's too limited to figure out the biggest thing, what we are. We can't. Only mind is the soul of all. Now you have that. Huh? Only mind is the soul of all. Only the divine mind can identify me rightly. Isn't it wonderful? When I see these things and I think about them, I feel they are so big, they are so terrific in their sense, to think that there is in being a mind, a conscious mind, a universally conscious mind who knows me in my bigness, who identifies me in my bigness. And that it can do that in a bigger way than I ever could figure it out. Isn't that terrific? And to think that is my being, that is my identity. I have no other identity, but that identity with the divine mind through soul knows me. Then I feel that is really the way of science, the gentle way of science, the majesty of science, and not the smallness of metaphysics that in a burdensome way tries constantly to identify myself with ideas, and I have a hell of a job to constantly watch my thought that I identify myself rightly every minute and every second. Then I let go, because I have no other identity than that identity which the divine mind knows. Mind is the soul of all. Can you now see that wonderful combination? When we have read it, it's in Genesis, and we may have read it I don't know how many times. We perhaps have always said, mind is the soul of all, yes. Mm-hmm. But it didn't register really. It hadn't an impact on us. But now it has. So it's actually soul that names us. That's science. Soul names us. He gives us the true name. Just as in the Bible, in that wonderful period of the 3,000-year period of soul, all the people are always renamed. Isn't it interesting to see that in the Bible, before that 3,000 period, nobody was renamed? And that after that 3,000 period, nobody was renamed. That all the renaming were within that 3,000 period. Starting with Abraham being renamed Abraham, Jacob being renamed Israel, and so on, and so on, and so on. Always they got a new name in that third period. And that's the period of soul where we begin to see soul renames me. I'm not Max. I'm something completely different. Completely different. I'm the idea of science. Soul names me differently. Soul has named me in a name I don't tell you. I got it in 37. Right, as a young chap, I got my name. And it told me what I am. Outwardly, it's Max, 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 and Max is Max, and Max is Max. Huh? Yeah? But by golly, when soul renames one and gives one one's true name, it's neither Max nor Joe nor Ernest nor Hunt nor Joe nor I don't know. It's an idea. And it gives one the idea what one is. It renames one. And so everyone gets his new name. It's only a question if his heart is right there or not. If his heart is there where one is willing to say, golly, I let go of everything. No matter where God is sending me and what God is going to do with me, I say yes. And he can send me to Timbuktu, all right, and I go to Timbuktu. But then I let go of myself. I even don't try to identify myself divinely. I let go completely and let God use me the way he wants to use me. And that's my identity. Then I'm the called of God, as the Bible would perhaps say it. You see, called, named, what God calls us to be, to do. Yes? We learn in soul, we learn that we should control our thoughts with ideas. The control of soul with which ideas control thoughts. And that's very good. We should thought not run astray and have a wilderness of thought, disordered thoughts. We should see that God, soul, I went over to science. Science naturally would say that soul controls. Therefore, we leave it to soul to control every situation. Whereas the metaphysical approach is that we try very hard to control our thoughts. Again, you can see the burden. The donkey in the Bible was a beast of burden, but Jesus sat on it. He subjugated that beast of burden. It said, I have to carry the load. And he said, I'm not going to carry the load. You see, when he entered into Jerusalem, he said, I'm going to let God do what he wants to do. Let thy will be done, not mine be done. He didn't try anymore to carry the burden. He may have done before or had a feeling that he had to do it, I don't know. But that symbol shows that he was willing to subjugate that belief of burden and have the mastery of soul over it and let soul carry on. You know, it's so interesting, that question, which you hear all over, which every student will ask, and everyone should ask if he's a thinking student, is how do I know in a certain situation what is the right idea? How can I know that I'm not sidetracked, foxed by beliefs, and I take as an idea what is an illusion, or I take as an illusion what really is an idea? How can I identify an idea as an idea? How can I identify an illusion as an illusion? All right, Mrs. Eddy's answer is that she goes right back to mind and spirit. And she says, well, ideas come from mind and illusions come from the brain. But the student still says, how do I know in a certain case that these have come from the divine mind and not from the brain? You remember? Did I go too quick? No? See? So that is still a question that everybody asks and says, now, something has come to me. An idea has come to me. I have been praying about it, and something has come to me, but I'm not quite sure if that is now from the subconscious or if it's just a secret wish that has now manifested itself, or has it come from God? I don't know. Soul should tell us. Soul should give us the answer to that question and identify if it has come from God or if it has not come from God. And you say, but how? Again, I can't tell you how, because that's the nature of being itself. Nobody can explain why the being is what it is. We just can see what the nature of being is. But the manifestation of it is very distinct. Soul is distinct. Something within you reacts so positively and so naturally and with such inner evidence that you don't even ask that question. As long as you ask that question, you can know it's not really right. Soul identifies itself in us. And that, therefore, you experience that the more consciousness is trained in the senses of soul, in the ideas of soul, the more we have soul sense, the more you walk through the multitude, you walk through the world, and something in you just gives answers and answers and answers to situations. Somehow you not even have any more to work about it. Soul sense within you just reacts, just definitely, bang, 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 bang. And you know what you know. It's definite. You ask me why, how? I can't tell you. We only know one thing, that it can be cultured through the way we have been doing it this week. It can be cultured, and when it's there, it's there. It's an identity, it's an unchangeable identity, a spiritual sense that just speaks. We say spiritual understanding speaks to us, just as the five physical senses can speak to us. We say that spiritual understanding, spiritual sense testifies to us, and it does. So that the testimony is clear, cut, identified, and there is no quibbling and questioning and querying about it, because soul is definite. So along we ask, may it be or may it not be, we know we haven't touched soul sense yet. We may have started right, we may have started with mind and let that mind flow and stayed with that mind, and we have gone perhaps through a sense of spirit and kept it pure and did stick to it, but it may not have yet reached the tone of soul, of definiteness, and therefore we are not yet quite sure when a thought or a suggestion comes to us, has that now come from God or has it come from the subconscious? But when soul is cultured, we know what we know. It's very definite. There's no questioning about it. The only thing that can happen is that then, when you know what you know, that everything speaks against it. There you have to stick to it, huh? Always in the third period, you go into the wilderness. The spirit, not the devil, leads you into the wilderness to meet the devil. And so you know what you know at the point of soul. Okay, thank you.